When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it inside the 5. Touchdown!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final hour of the program here with Faxon and John on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. A couple texters getting in. Texans in Stroud, different front office, but in Watson's first or second year, the Texans traded their left tackle to Seattle. Or was it Seattle? Or are you talking about Laramie Tunsil? Was that what? Or did they trade for Laramie Tunsil? Yeah, this is a long time back. Deshaun got in the league like a decade ago. I know exactly what you're talking about, though, Texter, and you're right. For whatever reason, that franchise is just addicted to trading blindside blockers and that their quarterbacks desperately need to stay upright. So definitely some validity to that. Let's get Alan and Anderson. Alan, thank you for your patience, Alan, and we appreciate you checking in. Excited to talk some Clemson football with you.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, I'm a big Dabo supporter.
Of course.
I feel like, hey, you ain't going to get a better coach than him.
You're not.
I've been married for 38 years, and if we got a disagreement or something ain't working out, I'm not fixing to get rid of my wife. So, you know, you got the best coach that you could find out there. But I got a question. Now, listen, I know he believes in recruiting. He's doing good recruiting. Recruit the best. Develop them, yes, all that's good. But I just think, and I'm wanting to ask you this, are we missing a big opportunity by not taking advantage of, you know, the portal when we need it, the transfer portal when we need it? Because, I mean, listen, as good as the running backs that we have are, and I don't doubt that they are, you know, are not, you know, good running backs, especially Randall's doing an excellent job and so forth. But listen, why couldn't we just jump out there and get a Derrick Henry, a big power back, to go with them when we really need them, when Clemson has got a big advantage of doing that? First of all, they put tons of people in the NFL every year. Who would not want to come play for Clemson?
Okay, I'll say a couple of things at running back specifically, Alan. At running back, Clemson had the top running back in the country last year committed to come play for the Tigers and Gideon Davidson. So he was the best running back in the entire country. And then the year before, David Ezeamume was the running back commit, and he was a top 100 commit or a top 100 recruit in the country. Adam Randall kind of is that power back that you're alluding to. And I get it, like, I think this is where I might have a disconnect with some of the fans with relation to opinions on the portal. I don't think that Clemson's issue with the transfer portal is that they're not pursuing starter caliber players at key positions. I think that if you want to complain about Dabo and Clemson in the portal, you should be gearing your argument more towards the depth pieces so that you don't have to have Brandon Strozier on the field in the fourth quarter or Cade Denhoff on the field in the fourth quarter like you did on Saturday against GT. You could definitely talk me into the fact that Sweeney needs to adjust his philosophy to a certain extent about maybe, you know, churning the back half of the roster like some coaches do in the country. But then again, he's also showcased that that's not really his belief or philosophy for his program. I don't think Clemson's ever going to be a portal-heavy program, Alan. And I also don't think that they're going to go out and bid and get into bidding wars with other teams because that's a lot of what the transfer portal is nowadays.
Okay, all right. Well, I was just using the run back for example. I mean, what about the offensive linemen? We need them right away.
I think it's fair to say that they should have potentially pursued an offensive lineman in the portal, but then again, you were bringing back 4 out of 5 starters from your unit last year.
Also, Alan, the one issue with trying to go out and acquire offensive linemen out of the transfer portal is very few programs let good offensive linemen get into the transfer portal. If they find good offensive linemen, they compensate them and keep them. So there's not that many. Like, there's way more defensive backs and wide receivers and skill players available in the portal than there are offensive linemen. If you have an offensive lineman, you're going to pay him the GDP of a small country to make sure that he stays on your team the entire way through his career.
That's true. And then to further John's point as well, in relation to the transfer portal, you also have to take into account a couple of things from Clemson's perspective, okay? Like, look at the roster and look at the way that the roster has been meticulously crafted and constructed throughout the course of Sweeney's career with player development, investing into all these guys, etc. But, like, you have seniors that are entrenched at these positions for the majority of your positions, and you also have, like, a lot of these guys that are playing that people complain about are highly touted recruits. Like, people want to complain about recruiting and then turn around on the back end and say, oh, well, these guys that we have out there aren't good enough, yet other teams in the – like, everybody in the country wanted Cade Klubnik, for example, and he's the one taking the most flack. And then the final thing I'll say, Alan, I'll throw it back to you, and we can let you get out of here after your final comments on the transfer portal. There are a very minuscule amount of players in the transfer portal that are good enough to play for Clemson. Dabo Swinney said this one time, and he's 100% correct. You have thousands upon thousands of portal entries, and the majority of which are coming from FCS, low major, and mid-major programs. And I'm not saying that all those guys can't come and play here, because there are some that can take that leap up. But guess what? Other coaching staffs at the P4 level also have coaches that are scouting the portal and want all these guys. So you have 100 to 150 players per portal cycle. Maybe I'm even being too generous there. I don't even know if it's as many as that. That can actually come in and impact winning on a team that wants to contend for a national championship. And all the same 20 to 25 programs are swarming them like vultures and throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars here and hundreds of thousands of dollars there. And it just creates this weird dilemma. And I don't think
it's not even the same 20 programs, because now you got Duke who can throw $8 million at Mensa. You've got Georgia Tech. You say you have other programs who now have a path to get into the front door of these recruits that they didn't have previously. You have more people to fight for top flight talent than you did 5-6 years ago.
Agreed. Like, I think that Clemson should use the transfer portal more, but I think it should be geared more towards depth in the back half of the roster, and I don't want my program going and bidding millions upon millions of dollars for these skill position guys, because guess what? One of these wide receivers comes in and gets his head taken off over the middle, you just burned $1.5 million overnight out of the portal. Like, that's another thing that people don't account for when it comes to this.
Okay, well, hey, you proved the answer to all my questions right there, man.
I appreciate it, Alan.
Hey, go Tigers, man. Go Tigers. That's all I have, and y'all do a great job. Go Tigers.
Yes, sir. Thank you for getting in with us, Alan. And again, I think that it is a fair comment to have to say that Clemson should utilize the transfer portal more, but I don't think that people are gearing their commentary on the transfer portal in an accurate fashion as to how Clemson needs to be using it. Like, again, Clemson will never, should never be one of these Texas A&M type of programs, for lack of better term, or Florida State type of programs, for lack of better term, that are going and just throwing seven figures at every skill position player that walks by their door and says, hey, you know what, maybe I would consider coming to Florida State. I don't want that to be the reality for Clemson football. I would like Dabo to use the portal for maybe 8 to 10 more bodies a year on the back half of the roster. That would be where my ask is. And you know, again, even if he doesn't elect to do that, I still trust that this staff is going to be able to recruit and backfill the roster at a high enough level to compete and contend. You just have to execute, and that starts from the top down. You got to coach better. You got to play better. We've beat all these points into the drum repeatedly throughout the course of the week. Everybody in the building over in Clemson needs to be better. They know it, and they're working hard to get it addressed, John. So that's kind of just where I'm at in totality on Clemson football.
I literally have nothing else to add when it comes to Clemson football.
Yeah,
we have spent 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours yesterday. We carried the press conference, and we spent 2 hours and change on it. We're all upset. We're all disappointed. They need to play better. They need to coach better. Can we talk about literally anything else?
Yeah, let's shift gears. 654 Roar. So college football from the past weekend, like, we haven't even got a chance to talk about a ton of these games because people, and I get it, like, we do appreciate y'all checking in, but it, like, Clemson plays a game, like, we're past the midway point in the week at this point. Like, Clemson plays a game on Saturday. Like, they're not taking their ball and going home and forfeiting the remaining nine. You still have to go play the rest of the nine games. So, we need to, like, genuinely just move on from the complaining in relation to Clemson football. There are a couple games on the horizon this upcoming weekend that I'm really excited for, just personally. And in week 4, when we start to kind of have an outlook, I had a texter kind of get in earlier and ask about Texas Tech in Utah and where my mind's at on that matchup. I love Utah, man. I love Utah, but Texas Tech has also looked really good to start things out thus far this season. I think that's going to be a good matchup. Really excited for a couple other matchups on the horizon as well. I think Georgia Alabama's a bye week because they've got that one in week 5, if I'm not mistaken. So definitely looking forward to Georgia and Alabama in week 5 as well. And on that front, we've got Georgia Greg actually wanted to check in on the phone lines. 654-ROAR is the number. Greg, we'll get you right in because your boy Gunner slung the pill this past weekend, and he's built for it, man. Holy, what a performance.
So, we found out a little about his mental fortitude. I know he's got some limitations as a quarterback, but the kid's a player. That's a good thing we got. It's so interesting. A lot of people talk about the Carson Beck, Gunnar Stockman dynamic. Mickey's really fascinated by it. And I am too, because truthfully to me, and you tell me if you agree or not, Carson Beck is a very effective quarterback. And if you look at 2023, he was right there. And I really believe, and I've said this before, if McConkey and Bowers, mm-hmm. who've shown what they can do in the NFL, if they hadn't got hurt, I think Georgia could have and should have won the national championship with Beck. So I think whereas Beck might struggle with the deep ball, he's very effective at the check down throws, all that. He's got all the tools. I just think last year the receivers just dropped the ball on him a lot. And he's got something going on. Maybe he's cleared it up. He doesn't have that girlfriend anymore. So maybe he's free. But he's very good for Miami right now. But Stockman's doing good for us and what he's doing. So as far as that goes, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But Stockman is our leader right now, and he's doing very well.
Yeah, he's played really well. And on the Beck thing, I said before the season that I thought the pendulum had swung way too far on him, and that's a part of the reason why I like Miami. Carson Beck is still a really good quarterback. He's really intelligent pre-snap at the line of scrimmage. He's extremely intelligent when it relates to as well, like, you know, knowing where to go with the football and identifying where his numbers and leverages advantages are. The issue last year, and Greg, you can correct me if you feel like I'm wrong, I think when you look at the Georgia's supporting cast last year, and I mean O-line, run game, and wide receivers in totality, it might have been the worst for Georgia football in over a decade, and it's a borderline miracle they won the SEC with that level of talent on offense in comparison to years past. They had the most drops in the country at wide receiver. Guys weren't getting open. It was the worst that Georgia's ran the football since I've been alive, and that's not even an exaggeration, and yet they still won the SEC. They still went to the college football playoff, and I know that he had a lot of turnovers, but a lot of that was because so much was put on his shoulders last year in Carson Beck. Now, Gunnar Stockton, who's a little bit different of a profile player, he's the benefactor of having an improved supporting cast with guys like Colby Young and Zachariah Branch and London Humphreys, who's finally getting an opportunity to showcase what he can do. And it appears the running game, albeit not necessarily where you would hope, has improved to a level where it's viable enough to give him something to rely on. I like this Georgia football team. I think they've got flaws to work out. I'm excited that they've got 2 weeks to prep for Alabama, and I'm excited to see where this season goes. Because it's a different vibe than Georgia football usually has. It's kind of the way I view it, Greg. You can correct me if you feel like I'm wrong, but this team's just got a different vibe to it for some reason.
I think everything you said is fair. I think we actually are going to, by the end of the year, have a better offensive line. I think the right side's got to be shored up.
Yeah.
I think this off week is going to help that. I think we've got a lot of big pieces, and I think he's got to find the ones that are going to work right on that right tackle spot. I think the right guard spot will be solidified by mid-year by that freshman. But, yes, agree with you 100% about the outside pieces. I think the run game, you talked about transfers. I think Georgia saw how many times did Georgia not make third and one? They got that big back out of Illinois. What a great pickup for short yardage they got. And that's how Georgia does that. They get a couple receivers. They get a tailback to complement Frazier. And I think that's how they use the portal. Because you're right. Just like you said, they recruit enough talent. So they're not going to mess with all that, just like Clemson shouldn't. Just find the right pieces where you find yourself short as the year goes in. So I think everything you said was right to that. But, hey, look, we got lucky. I think we stole one toward the end. There were parts of the game where we could have took it over in the third quarter. We didn't. But with 5 minutes left, we're down 8. Make a miracle fourth down. He misses a kick that should have gone in. We stole a game on the road that we needed early in the season with young players. So I think what you said is right. We might be on track to have a really good year. But our kryptonite's coming in, Alabama. It's going to be huge week after next. I'll try and talk to you about that matchup. But how we fare, but getting past Tennessee on the road was tremendous for us, I think.
Yeah, definitely think it was a big-time win. Hey, Greg, we got to take a quick break, but appreciate you checking in this morning.
Thank you.
Of course. We're going to take a quick break here on the program with about 40 minutes remaining with Faxon and John talking more college football right after this.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for 4 generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Discover unbeatable value at Mattress Max Furniture, where comfort meets affordability. Transform your home with our wide selection of stylish, high-quality furniture and mattresses, all at prices you'll love. Whether you're looking to upgrade your living room, bedroom, or dining area, we have everything you need to create the perfect space. Don't miss out on our exclusive deals and promotions. Shop now at Mattress Max Furniture and experience comfort and savings like never before. Visit us today in Spartanburg or online at mattressmaxfurniture.com and make your home a haven.
I'm not here to make friends with insurance companies. I'm here to win for injured people, period. When they delay your treatment, lowball your claim, or ghost your calls, that's when we step in. At Tramlin Mills Law Firm, we take it personally because it is personal. Call 864-485-8585 or visit us at tramlinmills.com. I'm Trey Mills. When you get hurt, we bring the fight.
Clemson fans, this is your store. The Tiger Sports Shop has the best selection of Clemson apparel, accessories, and game day essentials. Nike, Lululemon, polos, hoodies, hats, tees, you name it, we've got it. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our 2 Clemson locations or visit us online anytime at tigersports.com. Don't just cheer for the Tigers, wear your pride. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters.
Go Tigers!
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers. A winning experience from start to finish.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176. Or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Ready? Ready!
Saturdays in the South start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
About half an hour remaining in the program here on a Wednesday with Faxon and John on the Roar. If you're looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025, you need to go with the folks at Carolina Top Dressing. They're committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, soil conditioning, and more. Ask them about their latest top dressing amendment and Carolina mix, or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. Let's get Skip in here, then we'll take Ron and Aiken's phone call. Skip, good to hear from you, Skip.
Good to hear from y'all. Thanks for getting me in.
Of course. Good weekend for your guys, man. Crazy game.
Yeah, I don't mean to be redundant. I know that you just got off the phone talking about Georgia. I just wanted to say it's always satisfying to beat Tennessee. You know, I think depending on where you grew up and in what era you grew up watching ball, most Georgia fans would give you one of their three most hated teams, and most of those are Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn. For me, it's Tennessee. Growing up, never seeing my dogs beat the Vols and Philip Fulmer, and so it's always satisfying to beat them. But I think this one was a little bit different because this may be the last time that Georgia plays Tennessee for about 3 years with the new conference schedule coming out next year with 9 in-conference games. So it added a little something extra.
Yeah, that's man, and that really sucks. Like, I hate that these protected rivalries are being lost as a part of the new scheduling and expansion and all that. I feel like Georgia should play Tennessee every year. Like, I feel like that should be an absolute no-brainer slam dunk.
They should, but, you know, I think that what they're going to end up doing is you'll have three permanent rivals within the 9-game schedule. And from what I'm hearing, it's going to be Florida, so they'll protect Jacksonville. It'll be the Deep South oldest rivalry with Auburn. And then from what I'm hearing, it'll be Kentucky.
Okay, interesting. I'm not sure I agree with that.
I know that Carolina had been tossed around as the third one, but I'm sorry to all your listeners that are Carolina fans. I would much rather travel to Lexington than Columbia.
Hey, Skip, I spent a summer in Lexington. You're not going to get any pushback on this side of the glass. I do find it interesting, though, with fan bases like Georgia when things move forward, because – you guys seem to be rivals with everybody in the Southeastern Conference. Like, you know, something's got to give in some of these rivalries, and I'll be very curious where the folks in Birmingham kind of make those decisions across the league.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, especially with all those Alabama graduates that work in the office, what draw they get outside of Auburn. But
well, we have to keep the longest-running SEC rivalry of Alabama-LSU going, right? That's like the most historic rivalry of the league.
You would think. I guess it depends on what the trajectory of the programs are whenever they make that decision. But I'm guessing Alabama would get Auburn, LSU, and surely they wouldn't do away with the third Saturday in October and not let Alabama play Tennessee. I don't know how that one's going to pan out.
Yeah, that's. I don't know how that one's going to pan out either. I just think right now, as things currently stand, and I'm looking through a bunch of different SEC schedules and kind of doing research on a bunch of different SEC schedules. Does it not feel like there's some teams that just get massive benefits every year? Like, I know that this might be a complaint that sounds stupid, but has Texas not had the easiest bridge into the SEC of all time in relation to their schedule?
Oh my gosh, Zarris Hanky has just rolled out the red carpet for Texas. We cater to them every chance we can.
Yeah.
I mean, the draws that they got last year were silly. You got Georgia at home, you didn't really play any hard road games, and they continue to be catered to.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't misplacing that or creating a narrative that wasn't true, but I feel like Texas has had like a very, very easy and cushy way to kind of bridge into this new conference, and I think their weak schedule was a large part of why they made the SEC championship game last year. And again, no offense by saying this, Skip, I just look back and I don't think that Georgia team was very good for Georgia football standards, and that makes it even more impressive that they were able to win the league and then get to the next level at the college football playoff with the backup quarterback too to win the SEC in the second half.
Oh, I agree. It was not a good football team, but I think that it speaks to the culture that's in the building started from the top down, and I think that's the reason that they won in Knoxville this weekend. I mean, did they get lucky in some cases? Absolutely. But I mean, that Georgia team from last year, had they been down 21-7 in Knoxville, or if they had to hit a 4th and 6 to keep the game going and convert a 2-point conversion, Carson Beck would have taken a sack, or he'd have high pointed the ball to Colby Young and it had been picked off.
Yeah, that's for certain. We'll Skip, before we let you get out of here and shift gears on the program, what are your thoughts on initial thoughts on Alabama and what you've seen thus far from them? Big matchup coming up on the horizon for y'all in 2 weeks.
It's a really interesting matchup. I think the programs are built very similarly. I think you still see some residual Saban culture in there. I think Ty Simpson has turned a corner in the last 2 weeks, albeit against lesser competition.
Yeah.
I don't mean that to sound disrespectful to Wisconsin. You know, they're obviously Georgia's boogeyman, and I think that Georgia's going to need the 2 weeks to be able to shore up their secondary, to be ready for some of the Alabama skill players. The Alabama defense, it's so weird saying this, doesn't scare me the way that it has in years past, and I know that maybe that's a short-sighted memory given what we saw on offense from Georgia and Knoxville this weekend. But I'm not ready to make a prediction on that game. I like that it's in Athens, but if I had to have someone to shore up a secondary, I think that you have the right people in the building to do so, especially when you have an extra week to prepare.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe you can visit with Fran Brown as well, since he'll be down in this neck of the woods this weekend. Maybe get some advice off of him on that DB play. Hey, Skip, we appreciate you checking in. Best of luck to your Bulldogs here in a couple weeks, and I'm sure we'll catch up before then.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Of course. 654-ROAR is the number. John, I kind of want to throw like a what-the-heck stat at you real quick. I saw this past weekend, and I had to look at my phone 3 or 4 times. The Colts haven't punted this year in the NFL. Have not punted. First team in the Super Bowl era to not punt through 2 games is the Daniel Jones-led Indianapolis Colts, which leads me to my next question. How bad is Anthony Richardson for how bad this offense looks the last couple years?
He must be pretty bad for this. But then again, the Colts have beaten
the Broncos,
the AA Miami Dolphins, and the Denver Broncos.
No punts is still pretty impressive.
No punts is very impressive, especially when, like you said, like it's Daniel Jones at quarterback, but
Danny Dimes.
They're getting it done. It's very impressive. It's incredibly impressive. I never thought I'd see the day. I'd like to see a little bit of that mentality coming through Pittsburgh. Maybe that'd be nice to see.
Yeah, for certain. Let's take Ron and Aiken very quickly here. End of the segment coming up soon. Ron, what you want to get in with, man?
Hey, guys. I know y'all said y'all done talking about Clemson football for the week, but while I'm hearing all the naysayers, everybody saying, oh, coaching is terrible, players are terrible, you know, I wonder if it's just the fact that maybe we got beat by some teams that was just a little bit better than us. You know, with the exception of Troy, we should have. That was definitely a bad half, but while everybody's talking about how bad we are, I don't hear any specifics. I mean, is it blocking where coaches needs to get better? Is it play calling?
Yeah.
If it is play calling, what type of play calling? What would they like to see us go to?
For sure. Hey, Ron, thanks for checking in. Thanks for checking in this morning. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. And we didn't say we're done talking Clemson football. I just said, like, I don't want to feed into the negative cesspool of the press conference and everything else. Like, that's been beat into the bush at this point. We're going to preview Clemson football extensively the next 3 days because they have a game this weekend, which nobody has talked about this week thus far, which is frustrating because you still got to go out there and play 9 more games regardless of what the outlook is right now. As far as coaching goes, I just think it's a combination of everything. I've given the same answer all week on this. I think that what's gone wrong, it cannot be pointed at one person and should not be pointed at one person. Cade needs to play better. The offensive line needs to play better. The wide receivers need to play better. The team needs to get healthy. It also has to be taken into account that you've already played the two best teams on your schedule, and play calling and coaching and all that probably needs to be better as well. So that's just kind of where I'm at. We've repeated it a lot at this point, and I'm looking forward to playing Syracuse this weekend and hopefully rolling the ball out and getting things right, because this is a pretty bad Syracuse team that has a really bad defense. And if you can't put points up on them, then you got big-time problems offensively, which have already kind of been confirmed through three games.
So you know how people say, like, you can really hear whatever you want to hear in something? You can really take away whatever you want to from a message?
Yeah.
Texter 9337 just got in. I love the way that we connect the dots here. Did I just hear John say he'd rather have Daniel Jones than Aaron Rodgers? No, I'd rather have the no punting, but I do appreciate the sentiment there. I am very fine with the 43-year-old hippie right now in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a second. Texter says, you think Georgia Tech's better than FSU and SMU? Most certainly, yes. I picked Georgia Tech to play in the ACC championship game. I picked Georgia Tech to go 11-1 in the regular season and go to the college football playoff, and I don't see any reason to deviate from that now. So, yeah, I think Georgia Tech's the best team in this league right now. As far as NFL goes and as far as Aaron Rodgers goes, speaking of what the heck moments, what is Caleb Johnson doing on the kickoff? Did nobody explain to the kickoff returner what the rules of the kickoff are? And if you missed it this weekend, John, do your best to explain what in the, like, this lost the Steelers the game.
Yeah, I lost it because, I mean, instead of trying to fair catch, return it, and safe it, he just tries to go up and get it and touch. I can't even try to explain what was going through his head. I can't make sense of it. And when you come from Iowa, man, you're from Iowa. You've been educated on special teams. You know how special teams work. You're from one of those few programs out there that prides themselves on it. Incredibly disappointing, but it's one of the main reasons you lost the game. But also, Aaron Rodgers threw two interceptions.
Yeah.
He wasn't very good. This team cannot run the football, and if they're running it away from TJ Watt, they cannot stop the run. That's their problem. They cannot run it, and they cannot stop the run when they're running it away from T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
And unless, like we talked about yesterday, unless those folks down at Texas A&M have perfected the art of cloning in the last 24 hours, I can't have two T.J. Watts on the field this Sunday.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's you got to figure out how to run the ball better. You got to be able to stop the run. But unfortunately, none of those things really factor in when you're playing the worst quarterback in football this Sunday in Drake May and the New England Patriots, because Drake May stinks.
Yes, he did.
So
he does.
Unfortunately, you're not going to really get to test that this weekend. Or maybe you will. I don't know. Playing against such an awful quarterback.
We got a couple Rodgers slander texts in here. I'm going to take up for Aaron Rodgers real quick, okay? I think he played pretty poorly on Sunday. But I also think that if you're going to point an issue to the, like, if you're going to point a finger to an issue with the Steelers' offense, the organization should have done a better job at replacing Najee Harris at running back. And I really like Jaylen Warren when he is the complimentary piece. I watched Kenny Gainwell play for my team for too long. There's not a lot there as your RB2. And he's also not giving you a different profile than what Warren's giving you, because they're both receive. Like, the thing that Jaylen Warren and Kenny Gainwell do best on the football field is the same thing. It's being a receiving back. I really just think maybe the front office anticipated Caleb Johnson to be further advanced in his progression, and they viewed him as the more between the tackles type of power back. I know Warren's got a little bit of weight on him, but I just don't think Warren's an RB1 in this league, and I think that could be a weakness for the Steelers. You mentioned running the ball and helping Rodgers out. You need a better running back.
It's going to happen. It's going to be Caleb Johnson, and I think at some point in October, it will turn to end up he'll being the lead guy. I think his skill set fits too much of what Arthur Smith wants to do.
Okay.
I think you want to slowly ramp it up. And I think part of the kickoff return thing was to try to get him used to the speed of the NFL, because the play doesn't really move until he catches the football or whatever nonsense that it was that he tried to do. So I think that there's a big picture plan for him. I'm not all that surprised that he's not leading the team in carries through two games. Warren's been in the system longer and Gainwell's just been in the league longer.
Yeah.
But I think when you get to, like, you have... Oh, boy, talk about a soft spot for the next couple weeks. At New England, Vikings at home, Browns at home, at the Bengals are the next four for the Steelers. Would not be surprised when you go up against the Green Bay Packers after that stretch if he's your lead guy in that game.
Yeah, for sure. Going to do a quick metrics check on the program before the final segment and final break, and we're also going to bring our intern Ashley in for the final segment going around the horn. 52-21, Lions over Bears, Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my, by 31, you gave up 50? You gave up 50 to Jared Goff a weekend after he put up 13 points on your divisional rival? Jared Goff had as many touchdown passes as incompletions.
Can I just say, as someone who's been on the more of the other end of the argument than you, of that it was all Ben Johnson, none of it was Jared Goff, to watch Jared Goff go 23 of 28 for 334, 5 touchdowns and no picks in Ben Johnson's face was beautiful.
How bad is the Bears' defense?
I love every single minute of it.
How bad is the Bears' defense?
Oh, it's very bad. I mean, it's very bad. It's very bad. And also, the Bears' offense, not very good. Turns out that just Ben Johnson wasn't the end-all be-all. Turns out that it's Jimmy's and Joe's are a part of this, not just one individual coach. And the Bears are still the Bears.
There is not one element of the Chicago Bears football team that I like right now, not named Rome Odunze.
I was about to say, you don't even like Rome Odunze?
I like Rome Odunze, and I like DJ Moore, but the problem is that DJ Moore did something to be on the wrong side of the karma for the football gods at the beginning of his career and has not received competent quarterback play or anything close even one time in his career for a singular season.
It's really simple. He went to Maryland.
That's what you get. I guess that's what you get.
You're not destined to ever get good quarterback play when you play at Maryland.
In all seriousness, on the Bears, though, they need Jesus to try and save what's happening in Chicago. There's no fix right now in the immediate future for this football team that's going to help them become a quality football team personnel-wise. I mean, they need a miracle, like truly. I mean that. I don't know where you go from here because, listen, Ben is the guy. You don't do the whole theatrics and run around and hire him, and he doesn't wait for the job. Ben's the guy, and Ben's going to get it figured out because the guy's a freaking genius that put up a billion points a game with Jared Goff the last couple of years, and he was a big part of the success in Detroit, and I'll maintain that. And we got a long season out in front of us to play, but here's the thing. So do the Bears. The Bears have a long season in front of us to play, and Caleb Williams is atrocious right now. He has no pocket feel. He's doing the scramble backwards thing still. He looks physically uncomfortable when he's, like, running and, like, his shoulders are bouncing super high. Like, I'm being serious when I say this is my evaluation. It looks so clunky and unorthodox that it just does not make a ton of sense to me what the problem is. Like, he has problems that did not show up on the tape at all in college, and I think that's where I'm kind of dumbfounded in relation to Caleb Williams. So we're going to take a quick break here on the program. Final break of the program. We'll go around the horn right after this on Facts on Sports.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Attention Roar listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? With our friends at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with their Metabolic Reset System, their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. They're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results, and I can speak to it because I lost over 50 pounds on the program 2 years ago. There's no starving, there's no endless workouts, and there's none of those risky drugs. Just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks that dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off forever. And for our listeners right now, they're making the deal even better. They'll waive your consultation fee, you'll get 2 extra weeks of the program for free, they'll even cover the cost of your food during the program, and just for booking, you'll receive their 5 Steps to Reset the Scale book for free. But don't wait, this guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. That's right, the next 25 callers. So call 864-644-1900 right now and mention the code New Year. That's 864-644-1900, PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it.
Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Are you tired of searching for insurance on the web, only to be bombarded by emails and phone calls of companies that say they can save you money? Well, now you can make one phone call and let the Ben Mason Insurance Agency put together a comprehensive plan for either your auto, home, or life insurance. We can put together a plan for you to meet your budget. Call Ben or David at 864-578-7100 for your one-stop quote and personalized service. At the Ben Mason Insurance Agency, we put your needs first. Call today.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Hey y'all, Robert Kraft here on our Clemson Sock Shop, and we've got some exciting news. We're opening something brand new on the square, Four Men on Exchange, your new place for gifts, garment, and gear. While the women's stuff's across the street at New Teak Boutique, we've now got you covered from head to toe at Four Men on Exchange. While we are currently in our pop-up location, as we wait for the new building to be renovated, you can follow along the progress on Instagram and Facebook. Four Men on Exchange, your place for gifts, garments, and gear.
Hey, it's Walt. Forget the 12-hour drive to Buffalo. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Walden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City. Never doughy, just that perfect crust. The wings, crispy, juicy, and loaded with that buttery, spicy buffalo kick. And if you've never had one, order the legendary beef on weck. You'll thank me later. Moretti's, just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Walden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer? Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at Vermeer.com/dig.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Final segment of the program. We're going around the horn here with Faxon Childress and John Hite on 105.5 The Roar. Also going to bring in our intern, Ashley, who shadowed here on the show. We got intern Nick in the production room, too. Nick Costello, you hear him every Friday night with Sam Jones on the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Ingles. Nick, that was good. We got the read there, right? Man, it's like I was doing it for the last 2 years or something. But, John, where would you like to start when we're going around the horn here? NFL, college football, Clemson football.
He stole what I wanted to do. I wanted to make fun of the Chicago Bears here, but we already made fun of the Chicago Bears. Anytime
we can make fun of the Bears is a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And tune in tomorrow where we make fun of the Chicago Bears. We haven't talked about this team at all. through two games, what do you make of Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen, Etienne, and what the thing's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, did you see the clip that's been kind of like viral on social media this past week?
I saw the clip, and then I saw Liam Cohen's response to it yesterday when he met with the media and said it was Trevor telling him, like, we got to move on to the next play. You know, all is good here, that he's been very happy and pleased with the way Trevor has handled running of this offense.
Yeah, I'm conflicted on how to feel about Jacksonville. A couple things in this game specifically. Number one, I can't believe they lost. They controlled the whole game. They really should have won the game. They kicked a field goal to go up 27-24, and then they lost the game. I'm conflicted here. Okay, you tell me how you view this. You're at 4th-and-5 on Cincinnati's 7 with 3:47 remaining in the game, and you're up 3 points, and you just got a turnover. You kick a field goal, you make it a 6-point lead, you go for it and you get it, the game is essentially over. Trevor Lawrence hit Brian Thomas Jr. in the chest at the marker, would have been a first down, probably would have been a touchdown, and the game would have been over, and he dropped it. Cohen caught some flack for the decision. Brian Thomas is catching some flack for the drop. Trevor's catching some flack for two picks earlier in the game. I guess I just wasn't tapped into this game enough in real time to like fully like broaden out my opinion of who we're pointing the finger at for losing.
Neither was I. Like a lot of us was being subjected to Giants Cowboys during that time. I think that's one of those where you just look back on it in hindsight, and of course you raise the question. In the moment, I would have gone for it.
I would have gone for it, too.
You have the ability on the road to go into someone else's building and stick the nail in the coffin to put yourself at 2-0. I think you take that chance. I think if anyone wants to be more mad at Brian Thomas, it was that he had 12 targets and only 4 receptions on the game. He's got to catch the ball better.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely has to catch the ball better.
Because everybody else, I mean, yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter, you two have to catch the ball better.
Also, Travis Hunter got called for one of the worst defensive pass interferences I've ever seen in this game on a 4th down, and it was complete garbage, and that's also a large part of why Jacksonville lost the game. Did you see that?
I have not seen the penalty. No, I'll have to go back and look for it.
It was really, really bad. Like, there was borderline zero contact, and the whole Jaguars bench like looked like they were ready to storm the field and walk off the field, and I couldn't blame them. I couldn't blame them in the slightest. A couple other things in the NFL before we shift gears back to college. We'll bring Ashley in on some Clemson stuff before we get out of here, too. I hand up on the Jets over Bills thing. What in the world is Justin Fields doing? Justin Fields looked like a world beater week one. He just went 3 of 11 for 27 yards. The Bills defense.
Welcome to the Justin Fields experience.
It's just highs are high and lows are very, 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 very low.
That is correct.
He looked great last week, terrible this week.
Because the Steelers don't have a very good defense.
Run defense is a problem for the Steelers. I saw Willie V text in, and I think he's right with that assessment. How can they get that shirt up? You guys have the players, it feels like, right?
Like I said in the last segment, you clone T.J. Watt.
You just clone him? That's the only solution?
I mean, Highsmith can't stay healthy. They're averaging 6 yards a carry opposing teams are against the Steelers when they run away from T.J. Watt. They're averaging 6 yards a carry in the NFL.
We got to send
your first round pick, Derek Harmon, hasn't played. Now, that's a big part of it, but you're not getting any push on that side. So I think a lot of the success we saw from the Jets running the football that set up Justin Fields to look so good in week one is that the Steelers can't stop the run.
Yeah.
Breece Hall had a great day on the ground. Justin Fields had a very good day on the ground, and it opened up things for Garrett Wilson in that passing game.
Let's talk both Monday Night Football games, then let's go college football. 2019 Buccaneers over Texans, 20-9 Chargers over Raiders, two ugly games, under continuing to cash in the majority of these NFL games at a pretty high rate, but a defensive type of vibe this year in the National Football League. Did you see Baker Mayfield's game-winning drive? Because it was kind of epic.
Oh, Baker Mayfield's awesome.
Yeah, Baker's epic.
That was fantastic. I, you know, love the so many tweets I saw that Baker thought he was injured, but then remembered he can just smack-talk people back to full health. Was great to see that. No, that he's a gamer. He's a gamer. And I think the best thing that ever happened to Baker Mayfield were the Cleveland Browns and the Carolina Panthers.
I think he found his love for the game again, and I think he kind of like reignited his motivation to play football and take it serious in Tampa. Like, I think he needed an enemy to say, "What? Well, you know what? Screw y'all. Y'all don't believe it." He needed his college equivalent of a Texas Tech. He needed that Texas Tech team to give up on him so he could go to Oklahoma and light it up. That's kind of how I view the progression for Baker in the NFL, too. Cleveland gives up on me. Carolina gives up on me. Bet. I'll go to Tampa Bay and I'll light it up just like I did at Oklahoma. Good for Baker. He's really easy to root for. For some reason, was like massively, wildly hateable in college. Really like him in the NFL. Same way for Jameis Winston for me. So good for Baker. Any thoughts on Chargers, Raiders? I mean, the Chargers did everything they could to lose it, and the Raiders were just worse.
I slept through the entirety of this game, so I cannot act like I watched it by any means. But going back and seeing some things, they don't have the guys up front in Las Vegas. I think Geno Smith had a very horrible day at the office, and I think Ashton Gentry needs more help.
Yeah,
which I think is part of the downside of being a football team with a lot of issues drafting a running back sixth overall.
Agreed. The last thing I would say on that is I'm envious of the sleep. I would trade the sleep. I made a bad decision. I should go back and I should take the sleep because that was a horrible, atrocious football game. And like, it was almost comical how long the Chargers let them linger around. And then every time Geno got the ball back and it was like, okay, here it is. They're about to get back into it. He just kept throwing picks.
See, this is, I think, the beauty of a little bit of age and wisdom on my end. I've been around for enough Chargers Raiders second part of a Monday night doubleheader to know that that game hasn't been relevant since LaDainian Tomlinson was back there for the San Diego Superchargers. So I just I'm good. I'm good. With a 9-month-old, I will choose to find my sleep windows over watch Chargers Raiders at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 100% understandable. Okay, we're going to talk Syracuse Clemson. I'll bring Ashley in on that. But first, John, I'm going to just give you the floor for 60 seconds. Brent Pry has been fired as the head coach of Virginia Tech. They're 0-3. They were getting dog-walked off the field by Old Dominion to the point where their running back was hitting step-back threes through the uprights with the football. What do we even, like, how, hello? What is happening in Blacksburg? Like, this is a disaster. They're 0-3.
I mentioned weeks ago Whit Babcock, the athletic director there, putting on a presentation discussing where Virginia Tech is investing athletically and then where their peers, where they want to be, are investing. And there is a huge gap between the two. The statements come out of basically said that Whit Babcock is going to help aid in the search, but he will not be conducting the search. I find that to be very interesting. Who's going to be in charge in Blacksburg, and is he going to be helping make this decision? Be very curious to monitor, does Virginia Tech want to do the general manager thing moving forward, or are they going to go try to get a ball coach to come in and recruit and rebuild this thing? It's going to be an interesting coaching search in Blacksburg, but I think more so about what it says about Virginia Tech's view of its athletic department moving forward, because over the last few years, you have seen almost every sport regress in Blacksburg, because I think they are realizing what everybody else around them is investing financially, and they're not.
Yeah, writing's kind of on the wall.
You can go find the Whit Babcock presentation online. It's very insightful and very transparent about what's going on in Blacksburg.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of work that Virginia Tech has to do inside of its own program before we can start talking about candidates and the type of shopping they're going to go do. Because if I was an agent of a coach right now, the two jobs that we have open, I have so many questions for about what are you doing to invest and support the next head coach moving forward.
Yep.
Because UCLA hasn't invested in like about 30 years, and Virginia Tech really needs to modernize in the post-Frank Beamer era, something they haven't really been able to do.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Syracuse, Clemson. We're going to shift gears to preview mode for Clemson football for the rest of the week. Ashley, you've been helping out on Tiger pregame show, doing a good job with Quawk. What are you expecting to see from the Tigers this weekend as they play host to Syracuse?
I'm hoping that this weekend is a shift of momentum for us. I really think we need just to make those simple plays, explosive plays, just really focus on the fundamentals and hopefully come out with a win, and then we're going into a bye week. So hopefully just more positive vibes overall, and we put in the right players and we make all the right things happen.
John, as we head to the Syracuse game this weekend, what are two things you're looking for from Clemson's offense to get the ball rolling?
Do not turn it over. Success on first down.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think it's absolutely huge.
You take care of those two things, you maybe even have a chance to cover a spread.
Yeah, they're 0-3 against the spread thus far this season. The spread in this game is 17.5-point favorites are the Clemson Tigers. And Ashley, it feels like if Clemson's offense is going to break out, this would be the perfect opponent for it to come against.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. John, we got about 90 seconds left in the program. Anything else before we get out of
yes,
here?
Yes, absolutely, I do. So we do now have our Tigers for Tatas shirts are available for pre-sale. Perfect. The Roar FM, I'm sorry, TigersForTatas.com, excuse me, I almost said TheRoarFM.com. TigersForTatas.com is the place you need to go. The new shirt is up there and available for pre-sale. All orders will ship before October 1st, so you can have your new gear for the month of October. We will not be doing any in-person merch until the 1st of October. So a reminder, if you want to pre-order, go to TigersForTatas.com. And also, folks, we are going. You're going to hear a lot about this moving forward. We are looking for auction items and experiences. We're looking for things that you can help donate, that we can auction off to help raise money for this cause with Tigers for Tatas and the All-In Foundation. So TigersForTatas.com. Go check it out. The shirts are available for pre-sale right now. And we're getting everything ready for the big campaign next month.
That's a great job there. And then programming tonight, we got Ashby tonight,
overtime
right?
With Ashby. Overtime that's right, from Ashby 7 to 8 p.m. this evening.
So no Braves tonight?
No Braves this evening.
No Braves. Matt Olson, by the way, I'm taking my victory lap on all y'all at some point. You're lucky it's football season because I haven't had time to comb through the data in a while, and I did it last night. Your best first baseman in Major League Baseball is Matt Olson, and it's irrefutable. And he's on a scorched earth heater for a lifetime. So looking forward to that victory lap this summer, John. Great job in all seriousness. Ashley, thanks for sitting in. Nick, great job. Quack and Ben up next.
5.5 Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560 Cowpen.